Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this evening, this June 22nd, 2025. We might sound a little different because I'm here in my home studio. And Ed, where are you?
I'm in Spokane, Washington.
Okay. It looks like you're in a hotel room. I can see you here on Zoom.
Yes, I am.
All right. So what are you doing in Washington?
I'm heading out to the West Coast to visit my family.
Nice. Okay. So you're pretty close to where they are right now?
Yeah, I'll finish my trip tomorrow. It's about 5 hours more.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm really glad that we have this technology that we can get together here on Zoom and broadcast this so that everybody can hear it. I know it sounds a little different to those of you who are tuning in. We use a really nice quality mic in the Prophecies of Hope studio, but right now I'm just using an old mic that I use here in my home studio, and Ed is just using his computer mic on Zoom. So
yes.
It sounds a little hollow. You might have to lean your ear in and to hear him just a little bit. He's sitting pretty close to his computer. And we also want to thank Ray Powers for giving us this platform each and every week here on New Visions Radio, where we can be here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Whether we're in the studio or not, he makes sure that a program runs for us, and we're really grateful for that. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about this ministry, Prophecies of Hope, and what we do.
Our ministry, Prophecies of Hope, has been around at our current location since 2015, 10 years.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's hard to believe time's gone that fast. And we have our services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, available via Zoom. We have a prayer time, and then we have a Bible study time. We have our church services on the seventh day of the week, or Saturday, the Sabbath, where we have a Bible study at 9:30 in the morning, and our church service starts at 11.
All right. Very good. And if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Ed, if they want that Zoom link, how do they reach you?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. Of course, Ed is away, so I don't know how often he checks his email. I know when I go on a trip, it might take me two or three days before I check every email. So give us a little bit of respond time. And especially right now, because Ed's going to be away, I think we're going to be doing this remotely for a few weeks, aren't we?
Yes.
So, we hope to keep the program going even while he's gone. The only thing that might prevent it is if our schedules don't line up, because when it's 7 p.m. here, it's only 4 p.m. there and
yes,
where you are, right? So, just making sure that our schedules work out. That's very important. Also, let's see. We wanted to talk for just a moment about the Bible series that's coming up this September. September the 1st in 2025, we will have a Bible prophecy series where we'll be looking at the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. And we will be comparing those books to one another and seeing how the prophecies line up, how they go together. But also, why it's important to know and understand the prophecies that have been foretold there, because they go right up through the time of Jesus Christ living on the earth all the way to our future. And there are things that are happening in the world today. If anybody's paying any attention at all, if you've turned on the news or you turn on if you go to Yahoo or your homepage or whatever your feed is, I'm sure you have heard things that are happening that are making people uneasy. And, you know, because we know and understand Bible prophecy by the information God's given us in his Bible, it can set your mind at ease to know these things. Isn't that true, Ed?
Yes. And Mark, that's going to be live streamed, right?
Yes, we will stream that live at prophecyhope.com. And that will be every evening starting September 1st, that whole week at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And if you can't tune in, we hope you tune in via stream, because there's always a blessing instead of just getting the recording. But if you can't tune in, you can, you will be able to see those on the website at prophecyhope.com. Let's see, there was something else that I wanted to say, and I don't remember what it was. Didn't have to do with the website, I don't think, but it's not coming to me right now. So is there anything else we need to discuss?
You put these recordings on our website as well.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me of that. We do. We the archived radio programs, they're usually several weeks behind, but you can find them. If there's something that you missed, you can go back and get it. Like what we're going to talk about tonight, we're picking up from where we left off in weeks previous. So some of the things we mentioned, you may say, wait a minute, I didn't understand that. You can go back and listen and get it. It's kind of like a podcast, I guess we would call it, where you can go back and listen to it again. And so it's very simple. If you go to the website, prophecyhope.com, over on the left side, there's a column. And if you just scroll down through there, it's very simple to find what you're looking for. And there's also a search bar at the bottom that you can type in any word and find what you're looking for. Was there anything else, Ed?
I don't think so.
All right. So would you have an opening word of prayer for us, please?
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're thankful this time we can come together to open your word, the Bible. Father, there's so much happening in the world around us that, Father, we need help in understanding what this might all mean. And so, Father, we turn to your word. As we open the book of Revelation, the very last chapter, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand what we're reading and help us be able to apply it to our lives and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, in the weeks prior, we've been covering Revelation chapters 20, 21, and 22. And last week, we stopped at verses 14 and 15. We read them and we said this, we were out of time. We said, this is a good place to stop. Let's talk about these things a little bit. So leading up to this, and this is why it's nice to be able to go back and listen to the other programs, we talked about the New Jerusalem. We talked about the second coming of Jesus, what that's going to look like, just according to what the Bible says. And we talked about the bride of Christ. And it's different than what I was ever taught, what you were taught, what probably the vast majority of Christians have been taught. Just by reading the words on the page, it clarifies the bride of Christ. And if you go back and listen to that program, those of you who are tuned in, I think you'll really appreciate it. So let's pick up here in Revelation chapter 22. And do you have verses 14 and 15? Because this is where we said we were going to start this week.
Yeah, so I'm going to be reading from the Modern King James, starting with verse 14 of Revelation 22. It says, blessed are they who do his commandments, that their authority will be over the tree of life, and they may enter in by the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and makes a lie.
Okay, so it's interesting to me. The verse 14 in the book of Revelation, which we know is it's an end time book. I think everybody would agree with that. Revelation means revealing. And here it says in the New King James, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So which city are we talking about here entering into?
The New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ.
Yes, exactly. So we get to be in the holy city with God and his son. And the beauty of this is, how do we get there? Well, it says, blessed are those who do his commandments. But there's a dilemma here because so many Christians will say, but the commandments were wiped away. I don't have to do the commandments. But this is saying you're blessed if you do them. What do we do with that?
You know, I don't know if you remember in Matthew 24, where Jesus warned the disciples and through the disciples warned us, don't let men deceive you. And the way to do that is by reading the words on the page of the Bible. People try to make verses in the Bible say things they don't say. If you take your time, read the words on the page, look them up if you don't understand what they're referring to, and you'll clearly see that it's not talking about doing away with the commandments of God. It's talking about when Christ died on the cross, those things that were pointing to his death, all those sacrifices and the sanctuary services of the Old Testament were no longer needed, and they were nailed to the cross. They had been fulfilled in Christ coming, living his life on this earth, and then dying for me and you on that cross.
Amen. So if we look again at that Revelation chapter 22, it even says those outside are the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the murderers, the idolaters. So it's talking about people that are breaking the commandments of God.
Yes.
That are not going to be allowed into the holy city.
And if you look at Paul's writing in Galatians chapter 5, it compares walking in the flesh versus walking in the spirit. And some of those same words were used in his description of walking in the flesh. And he also says, those that do those things will not enter into the kingdom of God.
Yes, and we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We find it in Galatians. We're finding it here in Revelation. It's throughout the Bible. So the commandments must be extremely important if this is the case. So where do we find the commandments for the first time in the Bible, Ed?
You know, they're so important, Mark, that God wrote them in stone.
That is so true. Yeah. Wrote them in stone. Every other part of the Bible was written on paper, but and he trusted men. He actually dictated to men what to say, put it in their thoughts, put it in their minds, what to write out. But the Ten Commandments, he wrote in stone. So where do we find them? And then we'll look at some of these verses.
In Exodus 20.
Okay.
And the Ten Commandments start in verse 3.
All right. I'm there.
The first commandment is the first verse. It says, you shall have no other gods before me.
Okay, now, so
what do you think that means?
Well, you know, that means that can mean a number of things. Whatever it seems like I become like the one that I serve. If uh-huh. And two, couldn't my job be sort of a god to me? Or maybe a sports figure. You know, when growing up, there were kids that I grew up with, they would have maybe a football player, Joe Namath. I don't know if that means anything to anybody now, but Joe Namath might be on the wall, I guess. Or, well, more modern that most people know would be somebody like Michael Jordan, you know, and they have these posters all over and they wear the jerseys. And really, what are they doing?
When you put those celebrity figures, those sports figures, ahead of God, then you're making them a god.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to do something that breaks God's law in order to watch these men play sports, then you're putting them above God. You're making a god out of them. You
yes.
can do the same thing with material things like money.
Sure.
Money can be your god.
Or a car or a motorcycle or, you know, the hobbies that we have. If I start doing things and hobbies and neglecting my relationship with God and Jesus, well, what have I done? I've replaced them with something else.
You can also have false gods or pagan gods and put them in a place of the one true God.
So there's an example of that in the Old Testament when Moses went up on the mountain. And tell us a little bit about that account. What happened there? He went up on the mountain.
Well, the verses that we're reading in Exodus chapter 20, God spoke these words from Mount Sinai to the children of Israel that were gathered around. And if you look at the end of the chapter there, it says in verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw, they trembled and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. So they were afraid to hear God's voice. So God called Moses up onto the mountain, and Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain. And while he was up there, God gave him two tablets of stone where the commandments were written by the finger of God to remind them of these things.
Absolutely. In fact, here's the text in Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. It says, and when he, that's when God, had made an end of speaking with him, that's God was speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And then in verse 32, to sound it down, chapter 32, rather, verse 16, it says, now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. So, like you said, God wrote them in stone with his own finger. That's what we're told.
Yes.
So, and it says here, so something happens here between chapters 30 and 34, because it seems that when Moses, something was taking place in the camp of Israel when Moses came down. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Moses spent, like I said, 40 days up on the mountain. And they were worried that he had disappeared, something had happened to them. And so they talked to Aaron, Moses' brother, and asked him to make gods for them that they could worship, that they could follow. And so Aaron had the people bring all a bunch of gold, and he melted it down and created a golden calf. And they started worshiping that. And were in the midst of their worshiping of this, they were doing immoral things.
So they, in other words, they were making a false form of God, which this kind of leads to the second commandment. What's it say there in verse 4?
The second commandment says, you shall not make to yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or in the earth beneath or that is the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them. For I, Jehovah your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity, iniquity is another word for sin, of the fathers upon the sons to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of those that love me and keep my commandments. You see that contrast between those that love God and those that hate God? Those that hate God
Yeah.
don't keep his commandments. Those that love God keep his commandments.
You know, Ed, there's a question that I've heard you say, and I don't know that I can say it the way you do. I love the way you express it. When people say, well, if God loved us, why are all these things happening? And is that, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I have like a two or three part answer, but a part you're looking for is, you know, everybody's worried about God loving us. How can all these things be happening? If God is such love, how does he allow all these things to happen? Well, I'll ask the question. Do you think if people love God, they say if you love, the Bible says if you love God, you'll keep his commandments. And these commandments are not burdensome. If everybody kept the commandments of God, would all these things be happening in the world?
No, not to the degree that they are happening,
No.
right? There would still be, we would still die, unfortunately, until Jesus comes back, but the world would be such a much better place. These wars wouldn't be going on, right?
Another portion to that answer to that question is God gave us his begotten son, his only begotten son. He had nothing of more value in heaven to give for you and me. What more
Amen.
could he do?
There's nothing left for him to do. He's done it all. He's done everything he can do. It's now it's up to us to accept that.
Right.
And part of it showing our acceptance of that, Ed, is what we're reading here, keeping the commandments of God, simply doing the things that God is asking us to do. These are for our good. They're not to deprive us of anything.
Right. You know, if we have enough time, we need to go to Psalms 119 and look at the benefits of the commandments of God.
Okay, yeah, I think we'll have some time. So we've looked at commandments 1 and 2. One was you should have no other gods before me. Moses came down, they were worshiping this calf. They were worshiping an idol, breaking also the second commandment, bowing down to this. And what did Moses do when he saw this tragedy going on?
He was so upset.
Travis.
He threw down the commandments, those tablets of stone that God wrote on with his fingers, and broke them into pieces because the people had broken those very laws.
Yes. And so what happened after that, after he came down, he threw them down, God told him to go back up on the mountain. And in Exodus chapter 34, verse 1, it says, "And Jehovah said to Moses, cut out two tablets of stone like the first." So it seems from the account that God cut the first ones out. God wrote on the first ones also. But here, Moses had to cut them out of the stone. And then God says, "And I," that's God, "will write upon the tablets the words that were in the first tablets, which you broke." So it seems there were some consequences that went along with that.
Yes. So when Moses went up the second time, he also was up there 40 days and 40 nights the second time. So he was a total of 80 days and nights in God's presence.
That's amazing to me. Now, you know, the other thing is this. We talk about, I find it interesting, the parallels. In James, it says that if we break one of God's commandments, we've broken them all. Well, here, Moses threw down the commandments and he broke them all.
You know, he broke them because the people were, after just hearing the commands of God 40 days, approximately 40 days earlier, they're already breaking them. And so he had Moses create another set of tablets, and God rewrote them on the tablets. Reminds us that, you know, we tend to have sin in our lives, and we break those same commandments. But God wants to rewrite them in our hearts and minds. So
Amen.
We'll be able to him.
Yes. In fact, 1 John 3:4, here's what it says. And I'm going to read it from the King James and then the New King James. In the King James, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." And in the King James Bible, it says, "Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." So this is, how could we ever say that the commandments were done away? Because there would be nothing to point out sin if that's the case. We could all just keep sinning and right, have eternal life, but that's impossible.
You know, sin is simply disobeying God. That's what
that's it. That's it. So any other comments on these two commandments? We're ready to move to the third.
I want to go to the third one in verse 7 of Exodus 20. It says, "You shall not take the name of Jehovah your God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." You know, this is commonplace in the world that we live in. And a lot of people don't even think about it. They'll take God's name in vain, or even his son's name, Jesus, in vain. They'll swear with those names. They'll just haphazardly use God's name to emphasize something horrible or something joyful, and not taking any regard to who they're talking about.
So true. You know, Ed, one of the things too that people do, I've noticed a lot of the young folks, they'll text something, or they'll use these little acronyms or things, and they'll say OMG.
Yes.
Well, that's a form of using God's name in vain.
Yes.
Or, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I was taught as a child, you don't say things like gee whiz or golly gee, because really what you're doing is you're substituting, and you're actually using the name, whether it's the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the divine Son of God, mm-hmm, or whether it's the name of God. We want to be very careful with how we use those words and how we say their names. So are we ready for the fourth commandment?
Yeah, let's go to the fourth one. These are going to be verses 8 through 11 of Exodus 20. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah your God. You shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger within your gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it.
Wow. So is this the first time that we see this commandment given or this talked about in the Bible, that God made a day holy?
You know, when you look at what's in the words here in Exodus 20 and verse 11, it's referencing back to the creation account in Genesis chapter 1 and 2.
Okay.
So that's when the Sabbath was established. Why don't we go to Genesis chapter 2, and maybe you could read, I think it's the first three verses.
Okay, Genesis chapter 2. And yeah, this is the creation. This is after the 6 days. It says in verse 1, Genesis 2, beginning in verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. It's interesting to me that he enumerates it, saying that it's the seventh day. God rested that day. And you're right, that's what it's referencing here in Exodus 20. It's referencing back here.
So what does Jesus say about the Sabbath? In Mark chapter 2, the book of Mark, not Mark Martin, verses 27 and 28. And this is Jesus speaking. And he said to them, the Sabbath came into being for man's sake, and not man for the Sabbath's sake. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. You know, people reference Sunday as being the Lord's day. Well, Sunday is not the Lord's day.
The Sabbath is
the Lord's day.
Amen. You know, there's some interesting facts about the Sabbath, and I realize that this might be new to some. For people who have listened to us for any period of time, they understand and they've heard us talk about this before. But for many who might be tuning in for the first time, I was taught all of my life that it didn't matter, that, you know, you could keep any day, you really didn't have to keep a day. But God's very specific, not only at creation, but again here in Exodus, and then again in Revelation, where it says, keep the commandments of God.
Yes.
It's very specific. And so go ahead, Ed.
Well, you know, in the fourth commandment, it tells us why God has this authority in our lives. Because he created the earth, and that includes each one of us.
Amen. And he knows what's best for us.
Yes.
And really, the Sabbath is about resting and worshiping God, because this is when you become like the one you worship. And if God rested on that day and I rest with him on that day, think about what blessings that he can pour out upon me.
It's the only day of the week that God sanctified and made holy.
Yes, here's six facts. The first time that I read the words on the page and I saw this commandment without just reading it, you know, so many times you just read a verse, but looking at the words on the page, the fourth commandment about the Sabbath is the only commandment that begins with the word remember. It's the only one. It's the longest of all the commandments. In other words, there's more verbiage or more words in the fourth commandment about the Sabbath than any of the other commandments. The Sabbath also, as we saw just a moment ago by reading in Genesis, was kept before sin, and God demonstrated how to keep it because he himself rested on that day. The Sabbath commandment points back to that account in creation in Genesis chapter 2. The Sabbath is the only commandment that is declared holy as far as the time and what to do with that day. And it is the only one that identifies God. The fourth commandment is the only commandment that identifies God as the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. These are very important things. So you can see why this commandment is a threat to the adversary. You can see why he doesn't want people to know and to keep the Sabbath according to the commandment, according to the way that God established it on the seventh day, from sunset Friday till sunset Saturday.
This is one of the ways that Satan's trying to destroy God's creation to get back at God, you know?
Yes, that's exactly right. And we're having a couple, just a little bit of a streaming issue here, Ed, but that I heard everything that you say there. It's I think you said to get back at God. You know, he's trying to just distract people from knowing who God is. And it's really an outlandish way, but it's subtle in the way that this has happened over the years. It's been very gradual. It's been a process.
He's trying to destroy the character of God and paint to you and me a false picture of God.
Yes. And so keep in mind that in this fourth commandment, there were three things that God did in this. He rested on the Sabbath day. He blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Those three things. It's very important. And so this sounds like it's just as important as the other commandments, yet it seems to be the one that most Christians disregard and they just wipe away.
Yes. Let's go on to the fifth commandment.
Acts
20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long upon the land which Jehovah your God gives you. So it says, we're to honor our father and mother. You know, as you're growing up as a young child, you learn obedience from your mother and father. They make rules to protect you, to guide you in your life, to help you make good decisions for yourself as you grow and get to that point where you're deciding things for yourselves. And so God is saying, honor your father and mother, respect them, obey them. Now, of course, if they're telling you to do something evil or something against the commandments of God, that's a different story.
Sure.
But we're supposed to honor them, not only as we're our children, but in our adult years, we're supposed to respect our parents. And in their elder years, we're supposed to help provide for them when they can't
Amen.
No longer provide for themselves.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I always like to make a comment, Ed, because just being the clown that I truly am, when it says there in the fifth commandment, it says that your days may be long upon the land in which you Jehovah your God is giving you. I always like to joke around and say to people, well, my dad told me I brought you into this world and I can take you out. So honoring my mom and dad has let me live longer than I would have had I not.
Yeah. You know, these words that are written on the page, they're true.
They are.
They can make a difference in your life and how long you live your life on this earth.
It's very, very true. And two, if you are honorable to your parents, chances are, even if you have no children, you know, my wife and I chose not to have kids, but because I do, we both try to honor our parents. She takes care of her mom and dad. All of our parents are still alive as of this date. And you know, because of the things that we have done and continue to do for our parents, there are young people in the community that look out for us, which is pretty amazing. I mean, it seems like even though we don't have children, there are young people that treat us like and respect us as their parents and make sure that we have certain things, or they'll call and say, did you get home okay? Or are you doing all right? What a blessing that is. So God looks out for his people, no matter whether you have children or not. Wherever you are in this world, God will take care of you.
All right, let's go to the sixth commandment in verse 13 of Exodus 20. It simply says, you shall not kill. That's the modern King James. Do you have a
Okay.
different version?
And I think that's what the King James also says, but the New King James uses the word, it says, you shall not murder. And that's a more appropriate word because the Hebrew verb is ratsah, which means to murder in cold blood. If someone is coming after you and in self-defense, you accidentally kill someone, there were allowances for that in the Bible. There were cities of refuge. There were things that God put in place. But if you did like what Cain did to Abel, that was murder. God was pleading with Cain to not kill his brother. And Cain went ahead and did it anyway. That is murder. There was no reason for that. It wasn't in self-defense. Nobody was after him. And so the word is murder. But God does allow people to be able to fend off or defend oneself if being attacked by another.
Okay. The next commandment in verse 14, the seventh commandment says, you shall not commit adultery.
Wow. So this one today, you know, it's pretty amazing. I have over the years visited a lot of different churches, and I know a lot of people who say they're Christian and they're living together without being married. Or maybe they were married and divorced and remarried without doing it according to the way the Bible says. You know, if a spouse dies, you're free to remarry. But this is a big one, and it's something that a lot of people today, both Christian and non-Christian, they just completely disregard it, it seems.
Right. If you want more information about Jesus' words on adultery, go to Matthew chapter 19. And he will say there that if someone's married and is divorced, except for the reason of adultery, you know, anyone who marries either one, the husband or the wife, commits adultery with them.
Yeah.
So that's serious.
That's very serious.
You're never going to hear that sermon preached in a church. It will never happen.
That's true. Now, I will say that at Prophecies of Hope, we're not afraid to preach that message. That's why we're talking about it now. And it's not popular. And I know, Ed, you have had conversations with people and they try to defend their point because they want to do what they want to do.
They'll go to Deuteronomy and say, well, see, Moses allowed them to write a certificate of divorce. Well, Jesus addresses that in Matthew 19. He says that's because of the hardness of their hearts.
Right.
But I say unto you, and he goes on to say, you know, if you're divorced, except for the reason of adultery, you don't have a right to remarry again. If you do,
right,
that's considered adultery itself.
Yes. And so just to clarify, if a man and a woman are married and they separate and they, you know, they want a divorce, sometimes they will get a divorce. And if one of them has a relationship with another, that's considered adultery.
Yes.
Even though they are on paper, they are divorced. Well, once that occurs, then the other one would be free to remarry.
Correct.
So, and that's, you know, I come from a background that was very strict about that. And, you know, because all of my life, I was taught that marriage is an eternal bond. You are with that person for eternity or until one of you dies.
Do you see how important it is to take the time to make a good decision about who you marry?
Absolutely. Yeah. My wife and I, we got married too young, but, you know, God has been in our lives and that's why it has worked. And that's the only reason why. But so next, unless there's something else you wanted to talk about there.
Yeah, right? Let's go to the next one. Number 8, it says in verse 15, you shall not steal. I mean, that's pretty straightforward, right? Don't take something that doesn't belong to you.
Yeah. And
when we think of that as money or physical things.
Yeah, a lot of times we do, but could it be, well, my boss isn't watching. I'll just clock in a little early. And maybe I'll get a little overtime. Isn't that stealing if we're not working?
Or if you're supposed to be working and you're not,
Yeah.
that's stealing. Do you
Yeah.
steal from God in terms of not only money, in terms of tithe and offerings, but the talents he's given to you? Are you using them as God would have you use them to spread the gospel, to help others?
Right. Do I pay my taxes that Caesar says is due to them? Because Jesus said, pay Caesar's things to Caesar and God's things to God. So, and let me say this. There are people that might be listening that have businesses. There are laws that are put in place that allow you to legally be able to get tax advantages. And if you're doing it according to the law, that's okay. But if you're sweeping something under the table or under the rug, or you're hiding this here, that there, well, we're stealing at that point. We're
Let's
stealing.
talk about another form of stealing. Are you stealing someone's affections you have no right to?
Ah, that's a big one too. Yeah.
Because
So,
there's many ways to steal, and most people don't think about these other ways.
very true. That's very, very true. So we really have to consider everything that we do. Sometimes, or we might see a pen laying in a bank. They have a whole jar full of pens with their advertisement on it. And you pick it up and you just say, well, they've got them out here so we can take them. I always ask if I need a pen, I'll say, can I take one of these? And if they want you to take them, but I would never just inadvertently do it. I'm the guy that goes back to the bank to take the pen back, just because when you're in business, you think about things like that. Everything costs. Those things aren't free. The bank has to pay for those.
Mark, I was at the gas station the other day, and I went to use my credit card, and I wouldn't take it because somebody had left the pump open on their credit card.
Oh, wow.
So I canceled it and
Good.
put mine in. But it wasn't mine to use. It wasn't my money to take.
Sure. I think I told you this a while back. I was in a grocery store and I used the teller, the self-checkout. And I always hated those things, and my wife kind of got me used to it, so now that's what I do all the time. And I'm at the self-checkout, and I used cash, and I looked at when I got my change, had to give me back just a couple of pennies too much, or maybe it was already laying in the tray and I didn't see it. And so when I picked it up, I went over to the guy at the register and I said, here, I said, this, it gave me too much change. He looked at me like I was crazy. Like, why are you giving this back to me? What do you want me to do about it? And I said, it's not my money. Somebody either left it in there or the machine dumped too much change. Here, I'm giving this back to you. And after that, it seems like whenever I see that guy, he always waves at me. And I don't know if he thought I was crazy or if he thought I've never had anybody do this, but people do that. People, I've seen people that say, this isn't my dollar on the floor, whatever it is. And it isn't.
All
So.
right, let's go on to the ninth commandment, verse 16. It says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." What's that in plain English, Mark?
You shouldn't lie.
Yeah, don't
Yeah.
lie.
And
Tell the
boy,
truth.
this is. A lie is what started this whole sin situation, isn't it? The father of the
The
lie.
lie of Satan through the serpent.
Yeah. Yep. And that means, you hear things like, well, it's just a little white lie, or, well, it was just a small lie. No, it doesn't say you shouldn't tell a big lie.
I know people that say, well, I'm trying to make them feel better, so I'll just tell them they look good when they look horrible. You don't have to do that. When someone asks you how they look, just say, "I like that color of your skirt or your blouse or whatever."
If you
Don't
like, if you
lie.
think it's nice, right.
Don't lie.
It reminds me of the.
They may
Go ahead.
need to hear the truth. If their hair's messed up and they don't know it, say,
It's.
"Have you looked in the mirror? Your hair's a little messed up, you know."
There you go. That's exactly right. So it kind of reminds me, there was a, I don't remember what it was for, but it was an old commercial with Abe Lincoln, and his wife walks into the room and says, "Does this dress make me look fat?" And he holds up his fingers like just a little, and she stormed out of the room. You know, honest Abe, he wasn't going to lie to
Yeah,
her.
that's one of his characteristics he was known for. He always told the truth.
Yeah. And you know, I want to be known as someone who does that.
Yeah.
And it's part of letting your yes mean yes. And one of the things about that doesn't necessarily mean you lie if you say, "Hey, I'll be there at 3 o'clock," and something happens and you couldn't get there at three. But try not to overextend yourself. And if you're going to, if you've made an arrangement with somebody to do something, call them up and say, "Hey, you know, I'm running a little bit behind," or something has come up. It doesn't make you a liar. Time and chance befall all men. It's going to happen.
Don't make impulsive decisions, especially with God, making promises to God. Think them through. If
Amen.
someone is trying to build a church and they're asking for a commitment of so many dollars per month, think about it. Do I have the money to do this? Am I going to follow through on that commitment? Don't just go by the emotions of the moment. Because if you make that commitment to God, God expects you to keep it.
Amen. He surely does. And just like anybody would, you know, when, especially when you're talking with a friend, if you commit to something, you expect them to follow through. This includes a marriage vow, doesn't it?
Yes.
So it's just, there's just so much to learn in these commandments. And we have
Yes.
one more.
Let's go to verse 17. It says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything in your neighbor's."
So what is, what does it mean to covet something, Ed?
You're
What does
jealous.
that
You
mean?
want that.
Yeah.
Sometimes that will lead you to do things that you shouldn't to try to get those things.
Yeah. So covetousness is mentioned in the New Testament a number of times, and it's really something we need to be careful of, especially in this world. The whole, all commercials are designed to make us want something.
Right.
So that maybe we
Yeah.
don't need, or we, you know, we don't really have to have it, but it makes us want it.
A sad example of this is King David and Bathsheba. And he saw this woman bathing on a roof and he wanted her, but it was somebody else's wife.
Yeah, so that, see, this is why James could say, if you break one commandment, you've broken them all, because inevitably breaking one will lead to breaking another, which breaks another, which breaks another. And so we've covered all 10 commandments here. And these are the things that we were talking about in the Psalm, or in Revelation, rather. And I want, go ahead. You were going to say something.
People need to understand that the commandments of God were given to protect us, for our benefit, to be able to enjoy this life that we live on this earth. And most people don't look at them that way.
It's so true. You know, the law is really essential. The commandments are really there to help us to improve our character, that we can become more like Jesus, that we can, and that way that gives us eternal life when we become like him. Ooh. Go
I
ahead.
want to go to Psalms 119, where it talks about the commandments of God.
Okay, good.
And I'm just going to start reading in verse 1. And I'm probably going to, at least to start with, go to verse 11. Again, this is the modern King James. It says, "Blessed are the upright in the way who walk in the law of God or of Jehovah." So those that walk in the law of Jehovah are blessed. It's a blessing to keep his commandments. It's a blessing to us in our lives.
Amen.
Verse 2. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies and who seek him with all the heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his way. It's saying in verse 3, those that keep the commandments of God don't sin or do iniquity. Why? Because they're keeping the commandments of God.
Right.
Sin or iniquity is breaking God's law. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my ways were fixed to keep your precepts. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect to all your commandments. See, when you break God's commandments, it brings embarrassment, guilt, and shame to our lives for these things that we've done, especially when other people find out about it. Verse 7, I will praise you with the uprightness of heart when I have learned your righteous judgments. I will keep your precepts. Do not forsake me completely. With what shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. How can a young man cleanse his way? By heeding the word of God, by keeping God's commandments. If you want help in your life to change some difficulty that you're in, start keeping the commandments of God.
Amen.
It will redirect your life. It will change your life. It says, don't let me wander from your commandments. That's a request that the author is making to God. And it goes on to say, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. When we have God's word in our heart, when we believe it, when we apply it in our lives, it helps us prevent us from sinning against God.
So this is so important that, you know, the 119th Psalm is the longest Psalm. And there's more verses in that chapter of the Bible than anywhere else. And it's really a great read for people to take
it
time
is.
to do this.
It shows you the blessings that God's commandments can be in our lives since we so choose to keep them.
So if you don't mind, I just want to take a moment because so many times people will say, well, that everything you're reading there is from the Old Testament. But let's look. I have a few verses here in the New Testament that speak about the commandments. We've already looked at Revelation. But 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, now by this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. That's in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 8, and really there's, we talked about it many times in the past. We only have a few minutes left, but how God will put his law in our heart. If we want to do his will, he will write it in our heart that we will do his commandments.
Yes.
And so in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, he says, and he's quoting from Jeremiah here. He says, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What law is he talking about, Ed?
God's law, his Ten Commandments.
His Ten Commandments. That's it. And then it says, Romans 8, 3 and 4, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What does that mean to you?
So what you're talking about is the second half of the gospel story. When we look at Romans 5, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. What a gift. What a pure gift. It required nothing of us except to accept that gift. But now what? I still have life to live. Satan's still going around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. He goes on to say in verse 10 that we've been reconciled to God by the death of his son. How much more will be saved by his life that he wants to live in us. Christ lived this life that we lived on this earth. He was made in all ways like his brethren. He learned obedience by his sufferings, and he was perfected by his sufferings to be our perfect mediator, comforter, intercessor, high priest, advocate. And so God sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He can give us victory over sin.
So the message that you're telling us that we find in Romans and we find in Galatians and we find this in a number of places in the New Testament is telling us that God doesn't just say, here's my commandments, keep them.
Right.
He gives us a way to keep them.
Yes.
And He helps us to be able to keep them because we can't do it in ourselves. We have to have the Spirit of Christ in our hearts that we can cry, Abba, Father. And that's what helps us to overcome. So
if you see yourself having problems keeping the commandments of God, it shows your need for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who can help you overcome those things.
Amen. So next week, what we'll do is we're going to take some time and look at each of the commandments in the New Testament, because we read it in the Old Testament. So let's see if we can find them in the New Testament, each one of them, and we'll see what it has to say. How's that sound?
That will shock a lot of people.
I think it will. I think it really will. So, you know, we're out of time, Ed, but this technology has worked really good. I hope that the folks were able to hear you clearly. I could hear you well here. I know that this mic's a little hotter, but it's time to wrap things up. So if you don't mind, I'm going to have a word of prayer, okay? Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for this time to be able to set aside this evening and just open your word and just see what you expect of us. Just to see that you wrote the commandments down, not to restrict us, Father, but to benefit us, to help us to become more like your Son, Jesus, to get us in the shape and the condition we need to be in to live for eternity. Because, Father, we know that we cannot sin and yet you give us immortality. We have to lay those things aside. So please, as we reflect this coming week, as we reflect on these things, help us to just look at ways that we can keep your commandments and help us to recognize our need for Jesus in our hearts, that we can overcome and do these things according to your will. So please be with us until we come together again. We thank you and we praise you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ed, I really appreciate you taking this time tonight. And friends, I hope you'll meet us here next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.